Welcome to WP Coffee Talk. Thank you to our sponsor, Helix Managed WordPress Hosting, for both their sponsorship and hosting our site, WPCoffeeTalk.com. Now on to our episode.
Okay.
Hi there. Welcome to another episode of WP Coffee Talk. And this time we're across the border, across the lake, I think. Where are you located exactly? I think I remember, but...
I'm located in Guelph, Ontario, which is about an hour northwest-ish of Toronto.
Okay, great. So across the pond, as they say, yeah. Across Lake Ontario, because I'm in Rochester, New York, and when the fast ferry was there, it would have been a much easier transport, but we don't have that anymore. So it's probably a good 4-hour drive between you and me.
Probably.
But anyway, I'm so excited to welcome Heather Grace this evening to our podcast. Heather and I met at WordCamp Hamilton less than a month ago, I think, or around a month ago now. Time becomes this fluid thing in the past, but it's all in the past. So I don't always remember how long ago it was, where I was. But it was so nice to meet you and kind of hang out with your group of women that were at the same table that I thought you were all friends. And then afterwards I find out you all just met each other too. So
yeah.
That was kind of fun. So I just love that the WordPress community always feels like old friends mm-hmm. Before you even have an opportunity to, you know, we all think that everybody knows everybody. They don't, but by the end of the day they do. Mm-hmm. So Heather, tell us a little bit about you and what you do.
Yeah, I'm a WordPress developer. I do a freelance WordPress development for clients, and I build custom themes and plugins as they need for their own sites. So I lately have been trying to focus a lot on website accessibility because I think it's really important, and whoever wants to alienate anybody, we want as many visitors as possible coming to our site. So I've try to make that a focus.
Oh, that's great. And I think that that's, it's really timely too, because accessibility has really risen in the view of a lot of people on the web, especially WordPress. So I think if a designer or developer has that in mind when they actually set out to begin, then they end up with a much better product at the end. So that's wonderful. Fantastic. So show me your mug. What mug have you got today?
Oh, yeah. I have this mug.
Hopefully you can pretty.
A local potter created it, and I really love it. I've really come to appreciate the shape of mug because it keeps the coffee a little bit warmer and
mm-hmm. smaller top, so it holds in the heat a little bit more.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's great! Yeah. And the fresh, real pottery as opposed to custom-made pottery as opposed to the ones that are turned out hundreds at a time.
Right.
I think the clay really holds in better than some of the ceramic that we see in other places. So, and what are you drinking today?
Coffee, actually, even though it's a little later in the day, but there's a Fair Trade Organic Roastery in Guelph that I love their coffee, so never mind having an excuse to drink some more.
Well, I've already had 2 cups today, so I decided that 3 probably would keep me up all night, and although I could probably be productive, tomorrow might be challenging. So I have my Winnie the Pooh mug.
Oh, nice.
And this I've had for probably 20-something years. This was a gift from my daughter when she was young, and she's 27 now. So I believe Grandma took her to the mall, and there used to be a Disney store there. And she picked out one. It says, "Time for a little something" on the back. So this is what she picked out for me. And I like it because it holds a lot. But tonight I am just drinking water because, like I said, I'm already over-caffeinated. I'm probably shaking like crazy. So that's great. I love it. I love getting to know people. And I think mugs are a great way to kind of identify what, you know, just part of people's personality or something. So it's mm-hmm. kind of fun. So tell us your WordPress origin story. How did you discover WordPress? How did you get started with it?
Well, I started building websites while my kids were young because it was something I discovered that I could do and raise them at the same time. And I could work from home and spend more time with my kids and also code. And then I had a lot of friends who wanted websites, and they were also moms who were starting businesses and wanted blogs, actually. It's really popular back in the day when my kids were younger, is what I mean. And their kids were younger. And so I discovered WordPress probably around, I can't remember which year, but 2008-ish, let's say. And and so I started helping them create blogs and things like that. And it took off from there.
I love that. I love everybody's story is so different, and we've all stumbled on it in different ways. And I love hearing how far back. Some people are like pretty fresh with WordPress, and some people have been there, you know, almost since the beginning, some of my guests. And for you, it's been quite a while as well. So that's kind of exciting. That's great. I love that. When you think about the different sites that you've seen that other people have built, because I'm sure yours are wonderful and perfect. Like mine. I wish. When you think over all the different sites that you see, let's take accessibility out of it for a minute, because that's been an answer quite a bit lately, and I know you're focused on that already. So taking accessibility away from it, what's something else that you think that people should focus on when they're building a website that would make it like maybe easier for the public to use, or something that would be more secure, like just any element of a WordPress site?
Well, something that I actually really appreciate a lot is good typography, and I think it's really easy to overlook it, and it's technical, so not everybody's you know, aware of it or interested in it, maybe, I'm not sure, but I find that when there's really great typography on a site, oh, it's so much nicer to read, so much nicer to read the articles. I read one article recently about accessible typography, but so it still connects with accessibility in a lot of ways, but it was just, you can just tell the thought that went into the typography and the quality of the fonts and everything, just make it a pleasure to read the writing. And that's really the point. Like, people are coming to your site to digest the information that you have to give them. So it's really, really nice to be able to help them do that in a clear and creative way.
Do you have a favorite font?
Oh, you know what? I have a lot of fonts. Lately I've been actually really liking this font called Exchange, and it's by Frere Jones Type, and I hope I'm not mispronouncing the name at all. But I bought the font, the desktop version, last year, because they were selling it and raising money for Races Texas, which was trying to support some causes in the States. So I was glad to do that, and actually really love the font as well. So
win-win then.
It just came across as really nice and helped me. And but it's a beautiful serif font that I like a lot.
Oh, that's nice. Well, I have to admit that early on, so we're talking, you know, pre-WordPress even, I was smitten with fonts that I'm ashamed of now.
Yes.
Such as Comic Sans was so fun back in the day. And I thought there was nothing more beautiful than Papyrus. So I have actually grown from those now. And I just love fonts that are easy to read, but they have some character to them.
Mm-hmm, absolutely.
And I think that Google Fonts does have quite a few of those. Mm-hmm. And there are some that are already overused. If I see one more website with lobster as the font, I'll probably scream. But yes, I think typography is very important. And the number of fonts that you use as far as typography, the size of the font that you're using, the distance between the lines, you know, the spacing, things like that, all of that kind of thing that goes into typography, obviously more than just the font. Mm-hmm. But I agree with you 100%. There are different ways to use them to make them nicer. Mm-hmm. So that's wonderful. You should do a talk. We should do a WordPress talk on typography. Well, maybe that is what you've done. Yeah. Something to think about. I know that WordCamp Niagara still has their speaker submission open. So there's something to think about.
I actually spoke at WordCamp Niagara last year.
Oh, fantastic.
Which was nice. And yeah, it was a great little smaller camp. I shouldn't say little. It's not really little, but it's smaller than some of the larger city ones, but still really great, and lots of great talks that were really informative, and I learned a lot.
I'm planning to be there this year. Last year it was on the same weekend as another one, and I was speaking at the other one, so that made it difficult. But yeah, so it'll be nice to see. It's in October this year, October 19th. Yeah, so it'll be great to see the foliage up there and all the changing leaves.
Oh, yeah, beautiful. And it's actually nice because the last time it was in the summer, and Niagara Falls is such a tourist attraction that a lot of the hotels and things were quite expensive at that point. So I think fall is a nice time because it's beautiful, nice leaves. Yeah.
Exactly. And if you are watching in the state, if anybody who's watching or listening to the podcast in the States wants to go to WordCamp Niagara, make sure you have a passport, because Canada may be our neighbor to the north and they may let you in, but you can't get back in the States without a passport or enhanced license. So now's the time to get those in order. When you think back to starting, now you started more than a year or two ago, as you said, around 2008. When you think back to the beginning and you think, gosh, now that I know as much as I do, I wish I'd known whatever back in the beginning. So what's something that you wish you'd known then that you've learned since?
Yeah, well, one thing I was thinking about was about website security, because I know that when I first started, I had the same mentality that a lot of smaller clients I've had have, where they think that because they have a small site, it doesn't need security. Maybe security through obscurity is their mentality or something like that, but I don't. And I guess they just figure, why would anyone want to hack my site? Like, no one visits it and whatever else. And then over time, I studied and learned and realized that it's those sites, because WordPress is 30% of the web, and all of, like, those smaller sites are using the same plugins a lot of times, or themes, that larger sites use. And if someone can hack your site with poor security, they can find backdoors to larger sites. So every single site needs to have good security. And a lot of times you also just don't know if somebody is hacking your site unless you're logging the attempts, which you won't do without a security plugin. So a lot of times, unlikely. So
I think that's a really good point, because I think some people have the misinterpretation or misunderstanding that it's somebody sitting at a keyboard trying to hack into your site. And it isn't one person sitting there just trying different things, right? So it's usually automated, and it's usually looking for those known points of exploitation. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I agree. Having been hacked in the past, I 100% agree with you that's something really good to pay attention to.
Absolutely. I know.
I like to say I'm the only WordPress person who actually admits to being hacked, because everybody else is like, oh man, I can't imagine that happening to me.
You know, as soon as you have a site that's hacked, you never again. You're just like, this is terrible. Can't let this happen anymore. And then,
yeah, lesson learned.
I guess.
Fool me once, shame on me. Or shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on me, right? Yeah, for sure. Now, you've attended WordCamps and you've spoken at WordCamps and meetups too. I'm assuming you're part of your local meetup and things like that, at least to some extent.
Yeah. I haven't spoken at I haven't spoken at meetups, not for any particular reason. I just haven't, but I do go to them and participate. So
So when you think back over your experience at WordCamps and meetups, whether as an audience member, running into somebody, as we call the hallway track, or talking to somebody before or after meetup, or even as a speaker, is there an event or two that kind of just rises up in your mind as a pivotal moment, or an aha, or like the lights came on, or like something that really just impacted you?
I think it's strange, maybe possibly for me. I don't know. I can't really speak to what most people's speaking experiences are like. But I know for me, I have a lot of anxiety. So when I do speaking, it's my particular type of anxiety doesn't, like, I don't mind public speaking, but where I run into trouble is if people are calling me out on things or asking questions, or like when there's some sort of focus more on me, it sometimes really triggers my anxiety. So I think that, I don't know, like, I know for me, it was just doing my first couple of WordCamp talks really helped me have less anxiety about it, and become a lot more comfortable with how the process works. Because I remember thinking before I started doing it that the people who did the talks, like, were somehow superstars in my brain for some reason, or you know, miles above my level for some reason, even though it was all my imagination. Like, I think a lot of them are on similar level as I am, possibly, or just in different fields slightly. Like, someone might be in marketing, or someone might do content, mm-hmm. or whatever. And so getting to know that actually, you know, everyone who applies to do a talk is on a certain, you know, has, knows that there are other people in the community who know a bit more about that topic or who, you know, are just in the...
Yeah, we all follow the spectrum, right?
So yeah, exactly.
We're in the spectrum of knowledge, and if you're speaking, you're probably towards the top end of the spectrum, but that doesn't mean that there might not be somebody in the room that knows a little bit more than you do. So
yeah, absolutely.
And I've encountered that before, and I've been giving a talk and had people raise their hands in the middle, which I never mind answering questions, but it wasn't a question as much as, well, that's not true anymore. And I was like, oh, well, I'm going to have to change that on the slide, and just kept moving on.
That's a great response, though.
And here's a trick. Please hold all questions to the end and then use up all your time. And when there's no time for questions at the end, say, oh, you'll have to reach me on Twitter or in the hallway. Although I don't think I've ever actually done that, but it sounds good.
Well, I was able to use up all my time. I was good at that, but not as great at, I was still getting questions at the end, so, which is hard because on the one hand, I want to answer the questions because
absolutely
love the topic we were talking about. But
Think there's a level of imposter syndrome, and I've heard that from some of my other guests before too, that somebody in there is going to know more than I do, and I'm going to be found out as somehow I'm a fraud, but you're not. You know what you're talking about. And I've never had anybody correct me about something that wasn't correctable. Like, it was like, oh, that company no longer does SSL. Oh, okay, cool. You know, it wasn't like, you're wrong about how SSL works.
Oh, yeah.
So, it's never accusatory.
Afterward, I had some people compliment me on my talk, which was so reassuring. Like, I think out of all the things, like, it's not so much that I I need a lot of praise or something like that, but it's just nice to hear back even from anybody about whether they learned something or it's so reassuring.
So, it's really validating. Absolutely. It validates that we are in the right place at the right time. So. Yeah, no, I could appreciate that 100%. So tell me a little bit about how you work with clients. Like, how many clients might you be working with at one time? How do you balance that? Like, as far as clientele, and if you've got an influx of people that want to work with you, how do you balance the demand and your ability to output information?
Right. Well, I have the number of clients I have at any given time varies a lot. It tends to come in waves or times of year. But I definitely do a lot of work trying to balance it out. I keep track of, have extensive to-do lists. And I also, if I have a lot, like just a lot of work to do and I have new clients coming in, I'll let them know. I mean, I may not be able to take them on if it's overwhelming. And then if I do try to also spend time if I can on my own business through the year so that I'm not getting too few clients in the downswings. So there's always a level of trying to keep up with social media or keep up with advertising and things like that, just to keep up the steady workflow if possible.
So, I mean, I remember I used to freelance, right? And so I remember that I had to be the marketing agent, I had to be the onboarding agent, I had to do all of the work, I had to do the billing, I had to do the collections, and then I also had to, you know, get all the advertising out for my own business. So I completely understand. You're not, you know, just doing any one of those, you're doing all of them. Mm-hmm. And you probably have a personal life too.
Yep. Well, I try. It's a goal.
I mean, you mentioned kids, I'm assuming that it's not like a peace out.
Yeah, no.
So, yeah, that's awesome.
Older now, so it's a little easier, but
it does make it easier when they're older. My daughter lives in another city now, and that makes it a lot easier to stay late and do other things for sure. Oh, that's awesome. Do you work from home?
Yes.
Yeah, that sometimes makes it easier too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, occasionally I'll go work in an office with a particular client if they have an office and they need me there for whatever reason. Mm-hmm. So back and forth or short time, but not most of the time I'm at home. Yeah.
Sometimes then, I go to a coffee shop. Do you ever work from a coffee shop just to kind of get out?
I don't, because one thing I really need to keep myself focused is silence. So I just find like any kind of restaurant or coffee shop really distracting personally. Mm-hmm. But I but I do understand the appeal, and it is nice to have like social interactions and things like that as well. So
yeah. It's like, again, it's that balance, right? So I could get distracted very easily by Slack and some of those other social medias. And then it's like, oh, I have this whole bunch of work to do. Right. So yeah, and I don't even freelance anymore. So it's a constant struggle to make sure all the work is getting done and manage everything else in our lives at the same time. So, and it has nothing to do with being women. It has everything to do with being freelancing for sure, or just work in general. So, So I don't want anybody to say to me, you don't ask that question of men, because it has nothing to do with whether or not you're male or female. It's the nature of the beast in this environment. Do you find, and I just gave a talk, a week and a half ago, at WordCamp Kent in Kent, Ohio. And I talked about the mental health issues that can sometimes come along with freelance work or remote work. Do you find yourself getting to the point some days where you're like, okay, I'm done. I have to go outside. I need to call a friend. Like, what do you do to make sure that you're not alone all day, every day?
Yeah. Definitely. If I find that I'm getting too inside my own head or too stressed out about something, I will definitely go for a walk, or it depends. If the issue is I need social time, meetups are great. Contacting friends, getting on to social media and taking a break for a few minutes just to connect with people is really, really helpful. If various family members at my house are around, then that's another source of social interaction possibly. But if the issue is just, sometimes it's just a stressful moment or something, or I've just been at the screen all day and my eyes need a break or whatever else, then a lot of times what I'll do is just close my computer, walk away for a little while and maybe have some tea or something and just sit quietly just to like think about things and take a breath. Like, definitely
decompress.
Yes.
Yeah, no, I find that so important as well. And sometimes it's just a matter of moving to a different chair, even if I take the laptop with me, right?
Yeah.
Turning my chair a different direction so I see out the window as opposed to seeing the wall or whatever it is. So
yeah.
It's very interesting. Now, do you find yourself reaching out to, like, are you a part of the Slack community as well?
I'm on it. I don't post a whole lot. I find one of the things is that I, most questions I might have, I guess I'm on it, but it tends to be more for support, I guess, but I don't actually have a lot of tech support questions that are easy for other people to answer, let's say. So I don't tend to post that much, but I do occasionally read posts and I am there to, but yeah.
Yeah, I think I'm the token American in the Canadian Slack channel. So on occasion, you might see me pop up there if you're part of that Slack community. And you're like, what is she doing? She lives in the States. Well, it's my grandparents are from Quebec, so I like to think I'm grandfathered in.
Nice.
So always feel free to reach out to me on Slack if you ever just want to be like, hey, I wonder what she's up to.
Sounds good.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun. All right. So you said in the early days you were doing a lot of like the blogs for people who were starting, like, did you say mommies and things like that back in the day, right? So what is the majority of your clientele now? Do you have a niche, or are you kind of just kind of all over, or what do you do?
I'm a little bit all over. I have a very slight niche. I have a fair number of, I guess I'd say people working in the mental health field. As clients. So I do a fair number of those sites for brochure sort of style sites. They're mostly. So I guess that's sort of a bit of a niche, just because I think one of the things about freelancing is that a lot of new clients come from referrals, right? So if you get a client in an area, it tends to continue down that track a little bit, but yeah.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah.
It kind of makes you set up to know a little bit more too, to be able to style a site in that area a little bit easier too, with less research perhaps.
Yeah.
I don't think I ever did two sites for the same industry twice when I was freelancing.
Oh,
I was constantly researching what the different fields were. My favorite site for strangeness was Lily's Poop Patrol.
Oh, well.
it no longer exists. They closed the business, but it was a man who went around to yards and picked up your dog doo. So that was one of the stranger ones. Yeah. But you know what? I mean, it was also fun. Coming up with that. So yeah, that's nice. And you can make so much fun. You can have fun with a site about dog
poop. Absolutely. Yeah.
I think we put on there as the tag, we're number one for your dog's number two.
That's great.
So it's a lot of fun. let's move into what I call rapid fire questions. Take your time to answer them as always. If you were advising other people who are getting started or building their own site, what are 2 to 3, even 4 plugins that you recommend as good plugins to have or even must-haves?
Yeah, I would say absolutely get a security plugin. I use iTheme Security, but I've heard WordFence is good. I love WordFence's blog. They have great articles. I probably recommend them too. I just don't have personal experience. But definitely get a security plugin. Definitely find a way to back up your site. So that could be a backup plugin, or there's alternatives like ManageWP or something like that that will also do backups. And caching, I think some form of caching plugin. It depends a little bit on your hosting, I think. Mm-hmm. But all those things I think are, you know, necessary for every site across the board. I think some sites might need, like, you know, there's a lot of other plugins I'll use fairly regularly for my own development, like advanced custom fields or something like that. But definitely across the board, get caching, get security, be able to back up your site, because it's just not going to work well without that.
So. Yeah. And I would add to that, when you talk about the caching plugin, you're the first person to bring up caching plugins, actually. Oh. I love that. But learn how to use it, because there are certain times when you want to keep a page off of your cache.
Yes, definitely. And also while you're in development, caching can be a problem. You have to, understand the timing of when to start caching your site and how to turn it on and off and what features are helpful. Also, I know like some of the bigger caching plugins will also do things like compress your code of your site. And that can also cause problems if you're not careful with it or if you don't do it properly. So just get to know how to use it for sure.
Absolutely. Yeah. Sometimes we have customers with Give who have issues because they've got caching across the board. And when somebody goes to make a donation, it's showing somebody else's information because the cache hasn't cleared. So, I mean, they're not able to log in or anything like that, but they could maybe see the email address or something of the person who's made it. So understanding how to turn off caching on a page-by-page basis or post-by-post is also. Yeah, so absolutely. I think, but any plugin you install on your site, learn it so that you're using it properly. It's not enough to just put it on there and hope for the best.
Also keep it updated.
Yes.
And update it. And if there's an update, do the update. Yes.
And run the backup before you do the update.
Yes. And after.
Exactly. So you have everything.
Yes.
And this is why we have people like you in the world, so that other people go, I don't want to do all that. Can I just hire you to do my site?
Yes.
Exactly. I know. You get that at meetups sometimes too. When you first started out in coding and with WordPress or anywhere along the journey, have you had a mentor? And if you did, who was it?
I didn't have a, well, okay. It's a bit strange because when I very first started coding, actually my husband at the time was working for an internet service provider and building websites. But this was very much a long time ago. And he mentored me for a little bit, just learning PHP. And that was pre-WordPress, for me anyway. I didn't really have a mentor after that. Like, he stopped doing that after a while, and moved on in his life to other things. But I continued on because I really enjoyed doing that work. And so after that, I didn't really have a mentor. But then did start going eventually to WordCamps and getting a lot of information. And I also I'm on a lot of WordPress groups, Facebook groups, and follow a lot of WordPress people on Twitter as well. So although I don't have somebody sort of one-on-one as a mentor, I do learn a lot from the community.
That's awesome.
Yes.
Yeah, I think the community is very giving in that way.
Mm-hmm.
I love that for sure.
Yeah, it's amazing. Yeah.
When you think of the WordPress community, all the people that you know and the people that you know of, who's somebody that you admire in the WordPress community and why?
Oh, that's a great question. I guess I'll say, don't remember her last name, but you are friends with her. I'd probably want to say Shanta. She is someone who convinced me to do my first talk at WordCamp Hamilton, and she's such a sweet person and is so friendly and knowledgeable that I always appreciate her speaking with her and the things she has to say, and always a great person to learn from and a great person to just so approachable.
Yeah, that's Shanta Nathwani.
Oh, okay, right. Sorry.
The last name doesn't necessarily come right to you, but she and I are both Wonder Woman fans too, so we have a lot in common. But I 100% echo that. She's actually given talks to the Rochester WordPress community at meetups through the power of the internet. So she's come to us through Skype or things like that in the past and talked at a number of WordCamps, of course. And I agree, she's one of the most generous people in the community that I know. A good person to admire for sure. What's something that you'd like to learn in WordPress that you haven't tackled yet?
One thing I definitely want to learn is React, and I haven't tackled it yet because I would love to build some Gutenberg blocks, and that's on my to-do list. That's been on my to-do list for quite a long time, actually, but I'm going to get there one of these days. I think I would like to do that. I'm not sure. I've looked into it a few times, and I know that React isn't a programming language that I'm especially drawn to. I really enjoy PHP and HTML and CSS and some JavaScript. So it's a little bit of a challenge for me, I think, but I don't mind a challenge. And definitely want to experiment with that. So.
I'm sure that once you set your mind to it, you'll learn it and you'll be able to teach other people how to do it. So. Yeah. That's awesome. You'll have to share with me your first block when you make it. Mm-hmm. I'd love to see it.
For sure.
What's one of the biggest WordPress mistakes you've made, and what did you learn from it?
Yeah.
And this is my favorite question, by the way, because everybody's got good ones.
I think that there's a toss up between the security thing, but since I've already talked about that, I'll probably say when I first started and was building my own site, I needed a portfolio and built a site for my friend for free. And I think I would never, ever, ever do that again. I didn't realize at the time that people, when they pay you for a site, also connects in their brain somehow with their respect for your ability to build the site. And that was something that I didn't realize when I first started, I think. And it's not so much that I think there are cases you could make for, if you're building a site for charity or something like that. But I know that there's also ways that you can do that and still respect your boundaries and still respect yourself and your ability to do something and that you're deserving of, that your time is valuable and you're deserving of compensation for that. So I think that I watched one of your talks where you were talking about how to do a hackathon. And I think that that's a fabulous way, for example, to build a charity site and still respect everybody's time and value their input and everything like that. But just having a friend and offering them a free site is not the way to go, I would say. Not because your friends aren't valuable, and I'm sure that you can have great relationships with them, but it really puts everyone in a sticky situation, and you don't realize how that's gonna work until you're there and you're realizing this is not right. Anyway, but I think definitely know your worth, know that your information and everything is valuable. And
I used to manage a massage school, and every massage therapist gets hit up for free massages because it doesn't cost you anything to give me a massage. Mm. It's just your hands, right? And I think and I've never been a massage therapist, but of course I built websites, and people think the same thing. Well, it's just your time. Yeah. I'll buy the URL, I'll buy the hosting. You know, why should I pay you for your time, kind of thing? And I think you're right. It has to do with value, because for some reason, people only ascribe value to things that have a monetary price tag associated with them in general. I mean, there, of course, there are people that for whom that's not true. But yeah, I agree with you, especially people first starting out and really, especially women. I think we undervalue ourselves and we give it away, you know, the web design and things like that more than we should. So I'm so glad you brought that up because I think it's a very, very good point.
I think that people, oh gosh, sorry, I lost the train of thought that I was thinking.
Sorry.
I just feel like I'm sorry.
No worries. So absolutely valuing yourself and not giving away those free websites. I always used to tell the students that they could give their mother free massage if she helped pay for school. Otherwise, there's a discount maybe, but not 100%.
Yep, definitely.
Yeah, and I used to give a friends and family discount to some of the web work I did as well. But
yeah, but I mean, I think that there's a difference between that and like, and then just, you know, a free site or something. Like, I think that as long as you're respecting yourself and your time and giving yourself a fair wage and that there's an understanding that you did spend all this time. Oh, I know what I was going to say before. That you did spend all your time studying and learning how to do that craft. And, but also, as a freelance web developer, there are expenses. Like I do, it's not free. So, definitely you need anyway. Compensated for your time for sure.
Absolutely. And because you still have to pay your mortgage, you still you have to keep the lights on. You buy how many plugins and themes and all those other things that you've invested in. So absolutely. Now, and I don't think people have an understanding of what the overhead is even when you're working from home. Because there is definitely overhead. So absolutely. Yep. I think valuing yourself is super important. I'm glad you brought that up for sure.
Yeah.
Nobody asks anybody to paint their house for free. They shouldn't ask for a free website either.
Yeah.
Absolutely. What's your proudest WordPress moment?
Probably speaking for the first time at a WordCamp, I think, because it helped my confidence. It helped my business. I am pretty sure my SEO improved as well, just because I can now like link to that on WordCamp TV. I can and also just get sort of myself out there in the community and is also a way to help out the community and give back a little bit. So all of that, I think, you know, just really benefited me and I was really appreciative to do that. And,
it's very exciting. It's very empowering for sure.
Yeah.
For sure. 1 second.
No problem.
I think I swallowed the fuzz that was floating in my water.
Oh no.
It's okay. I'm good now. If you weren't working in your field, if you weren't doing development and weren't working in web, what's another career that you might like to attempt?
Another great question. I'm not exactly sure. I want to say I do care a lot about typography, so that might be something, but I'm not really sure. Like, I definitely have to do a lot more studying to go into that field, but I love fonts. Probably spend too much on them. I have too many installed. But anyway, so that might be a place something I would look into for sure.
Yeah, that's cool. So you'd still be designing, but just in a little different way.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I like it. What's something on your bucket list?
So I guess for my personal bucket list, I would love to go to France and Italy and explore around a bit at some point. So that's on my bucket list. Just travel there and see the sights and things.
Bundle it in with WordCamp Paris and you've got a write-off.
Yeah, sounds good.
I'll go with you. It'll be fun.
Sounds great.
I don't speak French or Italian, but we'll get by somehow.
Yeah, exactly. That's the fun part.
Exactly. That's why Google Translate exists for people like us. Show us or tell us about one of your hidden talents. So what's something that's a hidden talent that the WordPress community doesn't know about you?
One thing that I love to do is knit. I actually have some knitting, but I have to go get it. So I meant to have it right beside me, but I forgot.
That's okay. So go ahead.
Be right back. Come on.
Okay. Yep.
Oh, gosh. Okay. This is a project I've been, I'll hold it up in a second. I'm just trying not to lose everything. This is a scarf I've been working on.
So, oh, that's gorgeous. A cable knit.
Yeah, it's a cable knit. So I have set it aside for a little bit because I made a small mistake and I have to fix it. But and it's summer and I find it's a bit warm trying to knit in the summer. But I love knitting and yarn. And
that's wonderful. Yeah. my grandmother tried to teach me once upon a time, and I don't. For some reason, my vision won't see exactly where the needles are supposed to go. So it's not ever going to be one of my talents. So I appreciate people like you for whom it is. I gave it up and I do other things instead.
You know, my grandmother also tried to show me how to knit ages and ages ago and never showed me how to cast on. So although I could knit, I couldn't ever start until I finally taught myself eventually.
That's awesome. And now we have YouTube to teach us all those things.
Yeah, exactly.
Where do you find your patterns? Do you like have a Pinterest account and things like that where you see those things?
I do have a Pinterest account, but the biggest couple of places where I get patterns is Ravelry, which is a fabulous site on there a lot. And also there's a little yarn shop. It's probably not little, actually. It's a big yarn shop, but they're called Knit Picks, that has some really nice patterns and yarn, and it's great.
Oh, wonderful. Got a lot of stuff. Awesome. And do you like natural fibers versus acrylic and things like that?
Yeah. I tend to use natural fibers mostly.
Yeah. So you can start spinning your own eventually?
Need some sheep for that or an alpaca, but sure. And we'll buy that in the backyard.
Just add one more component to your day. Why not? Funny. So tell us where people can find you. What's your social accounts? What's your website?
Yeah. So I post quite a bit. If you're into website development and design, I post a lot of that kind of stuff on Twitter. My handle is @treadlightly and my website is treadlightly.ca. I'm also on a lot of Facebook groups, but I have a Facebook page for my website, but I don't really post there very much. So mostly I post that kind of stuff on Twitter. So.
Oh, very good. And of course, we'll put those in on your page on our website as well when we get you published. So that'll be great. Well, anything else you'd like to share with us today?
I don't think so, but it's been a great chat.
Yeah, it's been great. It was so good to meet you at WordCamp Hamilton. And I feel like, you know, with me being in Canada as much as I am, I'll probably run into you again and again. And I look forward to it.
Yeah, me too.
It'll be awesome. Fantastic. Well, thank you so much for being on the show. It's been great to have you.
Thank you.
My pleasure. And as I always say goodbye to your adoring public. Goodbye. Until next time. Bye.
Bye.